I'm going to decelerate the motorcycle. All right, good evening, everybody, and good morning and good afternoon for those listening to us on Friday. We are your hosts and your five-hole taxi squad, Craig, Alan, and Jay, and we are here tonight for your week 22 week preview. That means there's only, let me do this quick calculation in my head, there's only four more weeks for us to talk about fantasy hockey stuff. Jay, happy birthday. Very, very interesting 36 hours leading into the NHL trade deadline. Just to touch on that for the listeners out there, we will be doing a digestible trade analysis, trade deadline show for you with Alan and myself on Sunday evening. So that should release to your beautiful ears out there in listener land for early next week. And we will hit on all of the transactions from earlier this week. But boys, what's going on? Welcome back to the pod. Happy to be on with you as always.
Once again, the science has proven goalies are fucking voodoo. They all get sick at the same time. They all get healthy at the same time.
Look, I posted in the listener in the Discord the other day, one of our great listeners that's been loyal to us, Shiver Me Timbers, our pirate friend, asked about goalies. I gave him some of my thoughts and the voodoo of goalieism took over and just sprinkled all of that nasty evil all over my recommendation. And I had to put the sad walking gif into the taxi squad hotline because apparently I don't ever want to answer any goalie questions ever again. So I'm going to leave that to you guys because no matter what I say, it just sprinkles evil onto whoever I say it is.
Consult the chicken bones.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like throw the dart and figure it out. Like, look at Binnington. Binnington tonight, he did okay tonight against, you know, a tough opponent, but New Jersey's been a flailing dead fish for, you know, over 2 months now. Okay, coaching change, great. But Binnington has, like, I read, like, six out of his last eight starts are quality starts. And he just turns into, you know, Swiss cheese tonight, apparently. But, you know, that's...
I freaking reverse jinxed him, man. I kept waiting for him to stumble, and he's like, nah, man, I got this.
Oh, look, it's the mirage that is the Blues, but it's also, like you said, Alan, it's the voodoo of the goalie.
I know we'll touch on it a bit during the Sunday trade talk setup, but the trade for Gensel, I think that one's probably one of the possible fantasy-relevant ones that, like, definitely sticks to mind. But who's going? I just hear Gensel. And then we mentioned Bunting, but like, did they have any of the other details? It's not a one for one, is it?
Oh, hell no.
From what I've heard, it could be finalized tonight after both those games are over, which the Pens were playing the Capitals, where they got obliterated, and Carolina was playing in Carolina in Montreal. It was essentially a tentative agreement with the players, the NHL players being involved, being Bunting and Gensel. But it's supposed to be a combination of picks and prospects also involved with the Bunting side of things going to Pittsburgh. So it may or may not be finalized while we're recording tonight, or it could be finalized by the morning, or who knows? It could fall apart and Gensel could end up in Vegas because that's what they do. They scoop up everybody possible.
At the end of the day, Dubas can't do anything with a guy that's, you know, running out of contract, right? Like, he either resigns or he... Like, that's
walks
pretty
much and it. They get nothing for him.
He walks, right? So he's got, like, literally a bag of pucks would be better than nothing, objectively. So, all things considered, is getting Bunting not better than a bag of pucks? I don't know. That's just...
A bag of pucks is probably more useful.
You can't, the listeners can't see my hands, but I have Gensel in one hand and Bunting in the other. This is the difference, Jay. I don't give a shat what the other parts of that piece is. If you're comparing Gensel not signing to Bunting in terms of hockey value, let alone fantasy value. Get that corn out of my face, as Nacho Libre would say. If I'm Dubas, I would have done whatever I could to sign him. If you're trying to keep that window of winning, even though Pittsburgh's has had an atrocious season, but if you're trying to keep that promise to the core four there that they're going to be somewhat relevant while they still are relevant themselves, that being Crosby, Malkin, Carlson, and Letang, you got to keep a piece like that, really. And like, I don't know, we were never going to know the gap in what he was asking for versus what was offered. But from what I've read, he rejected their last offer, and then it led to this in terms of him being, you know, available on the market. And if you look from the since this kind of began with the Calgary example, one guy left for nothing, and one guy left with what looked to be at least a formidable return. Huberdeau is still lost in the wilderness of Alberta. at least Uyghur looks somewhat competent in that deal. And even by all standards, Matty Tkachuk has had a down season compared to his previous one. So I guess you really never know. I guess to your point, yeah, it's better to get some form of assets back. But if it's all futures plus Bunting for one of the premier goal scorers in the league, does that help Pittsburgh stay relevant after a crappy season this year and heading into next year? You know, will he be more useful piece in the Pittsburgh system? Perhaps. I don't really know what would be different for him, because he's been horrible in Carolina from all things considered. But let's not go down the rabbit hole of these trades. Like we said, we'll talk about them for Sunday, but to Jay's point, so far, that might be the most fantasy relevant, but again, you're putting one of the premier goal scorers in the league right now into the Brind'Amour blender, so who the hell knows what's actually going to happen to Gensel from a deployment standpoint once he gets to Carolina. But before we jump into the Week 22 weekend preview, we always would like to invite those listeners out there to like, subscribe, and leave us 5 stars and leave us a review wherever you get your fine fantasy hockey podcasts. This helps us get the show out to new listeners and into some fresh ears out there. So please, if you do have a moment while you're listening or throughout the weekend, we would really appreciate that subscription, the 5-star rating, and your thoughts in a review would be wonderful. We also, I did mention the 5-Hole Fantasy Hockey Discord. Please join that if you are not part of it already. It's 2,500 plus strong, like-minded fantasy hockey individuals talking all things fantasy hockey and life in general. You'll find all 4 members of the Taxi Squad in there on the regular, trying to do our best to answer your fantasy hockey questions, whether that's in the episode discussion, the Taxi Squad hotline, or the Thursday mailbag. Feel free to fire us anything that you need help with, especially as we're getting really down to the wire for that playoff push, heading into what will be most likely many leagues' final regular season week next week, which we will dive into in a second. Follow all 4 of us on Twitter/X. You'll find our handles in the show notes. We can also answer your fantasy hockey questions there. And yeah, I think that brings us to the Week 22 preview. So as always, we'll start the VanCab and we'll take a little spin around the news and notes of the league without diving into the last 36 hours of trades. We're going to wait until everything's solidified and finalized. Freddie Anderson, he finally made his long-awaited return for the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. So welcome back, Freddie Anderson. He actually won tonight, 2-1. Was that the final? With a 9.66.
It was like 3 or 4 to 1. Like he only let in 1 goal. That's the important part.
Yeah, with a 9.60 save percentage, and he only let in 1 goal against. So he looked like the Freddie of old, and it looks like, you know, his blood clotting situation in his lower extremities has been resolved, and he is back. It'll be very interesting to see what the Canes do, as Kochekov really didn't, you know, he was really up and down over the last month. I would imagine, guys, this is my thought here, I would imagine they're going to rotate them to make sure Freddie's actually healthy. And if Freddie can maintain this form, even though it's in a small sample size, being a singular game tonight, he's probably going to get game one of the playoffs for them and at least be the, you know, the playoff starter for the Canes heading in just based on his experience.
They waived Ronta, so it is absolutely Freddie and Kochekov.
Well, it makes sense now because they also they waived Tony D and they waived somebody else, I think Martinuk and Rantanen. So that was definitely clearing cap space for Guentzel. Hope, and I would imagine they're hoping to re-sign him as well. I don't know why another premier hockey player wants to go play in a small market and just disappear maybe after he gets the bag of money. Shocker, Thomas Chabot is hurt again. He's day-to-day with a lower body injury. Look, the Senators' season is over from a real hockey standpoint, but another pretty critical injury for them, you know, to go along with Josh Norris. There's no update on whether this is week to week or a longer timetable, but for those that have him as a depth defenseman heading into the final week of the fantasy hockey season and into the playoffs, you know, stash him, I guess, but make sure you're monitoring that status to see if it's longer term because he might not be relevant for you in your fantasy hockey playoffs. Matty Nyes of the Toronto Maple Leafs, he left tonight's game with a head injury after a Brad Marchand hit in the first period. He did not return. That's all that we got there. There was really no update, but this might change Tree Living's plan going into tomorrow from looking for a bottom six forward to potentially looking for a top six forward before the deadline. And then Vince Dunn is day-to-day with an upper body injury after the hit from the Popsicle Man, Martin Pops, what's his name?
Pospisil.
The missile. The popsicle missile. I didn't see the hit, but I
know. That's gross.
I know the Kraken didn't like it. From what I saw from the recent update for Dunn, it looks like he's out week to week, which generally isn't good with an upper body injury. If you're looking for a viable replacement, whether Schultz gets PP1 or not, I would imagine Adam Larson's going to get the other PP unit.
Ah, man.
Or did they give it to that kid? Did they give it to that
Riker
kid?
Evans, baby.
Oh, man.
My NA stash.
Don't understand why they don't like Adam Larson on any of these power play units, even when you get your best offensive defenseman hurt. Okay, so you're right. It is this Riker Evans fella that is on the second power play unit after the Dunn injury with Schultz up at the top. But I go back to my main point. If you're in a Bangers Cats league, it's Larson. His time on ice is going to go up. He hits, he blocks, he shoots a little bit for a guy who has cross coverage. He'll sprinkle in a point or two. And if Schultz gets moved, who is a pending UFA, so he could potentially get a power play spot after tomorrow if Schultz gets moved, because the D that are available out there is narrowing very significantly after all the moves that have been made over the last 36 hours. But on that note, Popsicle did get suspended 3 games for that hit on Dunn, although the hit was ugly. I'm not sure how relevant Pospisil has been overall for fantasy hockey. But Sharon Govich had a 4-point night against Tampa tonight. Alan, I don't know if you missed that or not, but
oh no, watching Buck score, I saw it all.
I mean, I think the most important thing too is in terms of Adam Larson, guys. Wasn't Adam Larson traded 1-for-1 for a Hart Trophy winner back in the day?
Oh, I mean, Edmonton, you wily dog.
Wait, Adam Henrique and Carrick didn't solve all their problems? Wait, what happened tonight? Oh, that's right. They lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-2 with those two guys in the lineup. Thank God that management team knows what they're doing with the two best players in the universe on their team. It's great. And then last thing before we hand it off to Alan for your schedule maximization for next week is Gustav Forsling. He finally got an extension, boys. He did not get moved from Florida, and it's a very, very smart, good contract for a very capable top four defenseman. So it's 8 years by 575. I think that's a tidy piece of business by the Panthers boys, locking up a key piece of their back end. Guy does a little bit of everything, you know, has filled in very admirably when they have seen the long-term injuries with the likes of Aaron Ekblad, Montour being missing some time. That cap hit is very, very respectable for somebody probably on the open market that could have got $7 million, if not a little bit more. But before I hand it off to Alan, here's my observations from tonight. So Tarasov beats Edmonton. Vas gets lit up by the Flames. Our resident Viking, Earson, has a 2-1 win and a 970 against Florida, in Florida for the Flyers. Freddie makes his triumphant return with a 4-1 win. The Devils somehow beat Binnington after not winning it. I think they've only won once in their last five, and Binnington, like I said, has six quality starts in his last eight starts. As usual, Boston beats the Leafs, so we don't have to
talk about time.
We don't even have to talk about that. Oh, yes. There's a solid observation. Coaching change for the Devils. Mr. Green apparently has blown some smoke directly up Timo Meier's ass, and he had a natural hat trick tonight in that Devils win. So perhaps Timo's going to get some more proper usage for those that have held on to him or traded for him. So he actually had 4 points. He had 3 goals, 1 assist. He was +3, 7 shots on goal, 1 hit, 2 blocks, 18, 17 time on ice, and one of the goals was on the power play. So a tidy, tidy night for Timo Meier. So for those that held on to him, perhaps this is the awakening. But honestly, from what we've seen, unless he maintains that 18 to 19 minutes time on ice, I don't know, boys. I'm not going to hold my breath. He's been awful this year in his, you know, first full season with the Devils. And then Charlie Lindgren, you know, coming off 2 horrible starts, has a 39-save shutout against the Pittsburgh Penguins. But Alan, you take this wheel, buddy. I'm going to kick my feet up back here and let you talk about this week 22 schedule and our top streaming opportunities and skaters, goalies, and big boy bangers for the listeners out there for the final week of the fantasy hockey season if your playoffs start in week 23.
Yeah. Best schedules. We got New York Rangers.
Did you just start the van cab with a motorcycle noise?
I revved it.
You guys made some modifications on Tuesday night that I wasn't aware
totally
of.
Totally not street legal, but nope. The
souped they up do the Civics.
Job. No wonder I couldn't get this thing going at the beginning. But take it away, Alan. Take it away.
So yeah, the New York Rangers have a insane 5 games with 2 off nights.
That's literally yeah. Insane. Like,
yeah.
They somehow have 2 off nights.
I can't remember if that's the first time this season or like the second or third.
First time?
First time, really?
5 games. Okay. First time 5-game week.
Almost never happens, but here we go. A team with 5 games. Then Winnipeg has 4 games, and all of them are on off nights. LA and St. Louis then have 4 games with 3 off nights. Anaheim, New Jersey, New York Islanders, and Washington have 4 games with 2 off nights. And then Carolina, Columbus, Detroit, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, and San Jose have 4 games with 1 off night. The worst schedules, Vancouver with 2 games, one of them being on off night, and Tampa and Toronto with 2 games, both on busy days. Streamers, Alexi Lafreniere, left wing, right wing, 43%. So just on the edge of streamable territory. Line 2 with the Breadman and Tro. Not really much in the power play time, but he's Breadman adjacent. Sean Monahan, got to pump those tires again. Center only, 46%, but he's all off night, so you should be able to fit him into your schedule. Line 2, power play 1. Quinton Byfield, now a fantasy unicorn as of earlier today. So center, left wing, right wing, 47%. Just go check, but line 1, power play 1. I mean, if he's not available, then I would suggest Philly Deneau. Also on the LA Kings, center only, 22%. Line 2, power play 1, but it looks like second half Fiala is engaged and is on a tear. But both Fiala and Trevor Moore are both highly owned, so Deneau is the only way to access that production. Goalies, Jonathan Quick of the Rangers, down to 39%. They have two back-to-backs this week, so he's guaranteed to get two of those starts. Justice Annunen in Colorado, 10% owned. He had two shutouts versus Colorado last week, which I understand is a low bar, but still shutouts. But his last start before those two was a 2-1 loss versus Detroit with a 9-3-3. They have a back-to-back early next week, so he'll see one of those. And this is probably last call for Philip Grubauer. He started five of their six straight.
And Decor just got shelled.
Yeah.
Even though they won, he still gave up four in that most recent start. So the Gerber baby is alive and well.
All that rest did something for him. He's 4-1 in that little five-game stretch there, and he only let in more than two goals in one of those starts. Big boy bangers, Will Cooley of the Rangers. Left wing, 3%, averages 2 to 3 hits, but prone to having those nice 5 to 7 hit games. Brendan Dillon on Winnipeg, defenseman, always a classic when you're looking for hits. He'll get not only those, but blocks and shots. And then Colton Parayko in St. Louis, 36% owned. He's more of a block specialist, but puts up some respectable hits and shots. And I will, with that, hand it to Jay.
Yeah, I think Alan hit it on the nail, and I'm going to reiterate two parts here, which is Alan just said there are two teams you need to target and grab. Yeah, if you can get a head start on grabbing these guys for week 22, there's no week to punt, right? At this point, you can't punt week 21 and try to win week 22. You might even have to win both week 21 and week 22 to get into your playoffs and your setup. So if you somehow can leverage week 21 ads for week 22, this is the week to do it. Grab New York Rangers early. So really, when we're saying grab New York Rangers players early, there's really only one guy we're talking about, Alexis Lafreniere. He's 44%. He gets power play too. Everyone else is going to be owned up. So if you can snag Alexis Lafreniere, get him if you need to win week 22. Defensively, in the same vein, Keandre Miller is going to be the other guy from the Rangers that you want to get. Will Cooley, it really depends on how bangers heavy and centric it is, because Will Cooley's like 3%, so he's kind of like a deep, deep shot. Any Ranger, right? Any Ranger's going to give you more games and more minutes than anyone else. Alan's point about Jonathan Quick, I didn't even realize until now, but it's so true. Like, he's definitely guaranteed two starts. So he's going to face Carolina, which is both good and bad, right? Like, that's possibly a playoff matchup, so that is going to be a testy game, probably a very tight and defensive game as well.
I almost see Quick against the Devils.
Or that. Yeah, it could be Quick against the Devils on Monday, week 22 Monday, or he could take the second half of the back-to-back, and then Shesty would face, I guess, the Devils instead, and then you have Quick against the Canes, and then he's most likely going to get on week 22 Sunday the New York Islanders, right, which is another going to be like most likely a very, I guess, shot heavy team. Like the Isles seem to rush into the zone and then just shoot just in case. I held Brock Nelson and Matt Barzal, so I watched a couple of those games and it seems to be their general strategy, which is good for you as a Quick owner. Definitely look for him given those back to backs. But yeah, you kind of have to get New York Rangers. Like if your opponent ends up getting two or three of these guys that, you know, ends up being streamed up against and he can fit them into the lineup. That's if two Rangers are streamed, that's 10 extra games you're facing, which is insane. That's really hard to make up. If those guys perform on any two or three of those games, if they perform, you're in some tough games played back.
God, I hope Zibanejad shows up next week. It's been garbage.
Yeah, that could happen too, right? But you want to maximize your setups. So the other team, as Alan mentioned, the Winnipeg Jets, since they play on all those off nights, they're most likely to be able to fit into every single one of your lineups. Guys on that team, like, you have to own Sean Monahan. He's at 37% owned right now. Line 2, power play 1, like that. You probably need him, right? Like, he's definitely going to fit most likely on your lineups on most nights.
The Monahanessence is a real.
The Monahanessence. Oh, man, it's. Oh,
until he gets the bag. Guys,
that's how he gets the bag. Imagine if he ends up centering the Jets to glory. first Canadian team in however long, and then it's on Sean Monahan's, what, $2 million contract? What a story.
I still hate that you guys nailed that. I truly hate it.
Yeah, I honestly don't think Sean Monahan on the Winnipeg Jets, who are leading the Central Division, was anywhere near my radar. That was an insane take. But him doing a little better on Montreal was kind of like, maybe. Other players on the Jets still, right? So you have Nino Niederreiter. He gets power play 2 times. He's 18% owned. He doesn't really... he's not really the guy that's scoring all the goals in Winnipeg, but he's definitely hitting in Winnipeg. So if you need some extra bangs, Nino Niederreiter, he's probably available. If your league counts faceoffs, right, you can consider Adam Lowry, right, 14%. He gets no power play time, so he's got pretty limited offensive potential and upside. But hey, you're playing the schedule. The other one I would suggest for power play 2 availability would be Vladislav Namestnikov. He's 3% owned, center left wing dual eligible, but heck, you know, just whomever, right? You're basically looking for Winnipeg Jets at this point. And the other one I would describe is, how do we feel about Laurent Brossoit? Like, I figure he's going to get one of the starts, but with no back-to-backs, I think it's I don't know. It's kind of testy to know which of the matchups.
Dude, they'd start Hellboy like every game if they could. I would not be surprised if Hellboy gets all 4 starts.
I know it's only Thursday, but Hellebuck's sick right now. He has the flu. So Brossoit might be...
Just picking up my phone. Nothing funny going on here.
I know it's still Thursday of this week, but, you know, the flu can linger, you know, coming from experience. I'm not an elite athlete, but he does have the flu, so it's something to watch going into at least their early games next week.
And they have a very winnable week as well, like Washington, Nashville, Anaheim, Columbus. Like, obviously, hockey... goalies can be voodoo, like bogey games can be bogey games, but would you be surprised if they came out with all 8 points from those 4 games? I wouldn't.
Dude,
that's like a very winnable.
Nashville's, I don't know what. I know I've run this joke in the ground, but they're pissed about you too, man. Something changed after that.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I have somebody else that might be pissed at, Jay, and we're going to talk about it near the end of the show. So one of his takes might be, you know, aging like old milk right now. But that's okay. We don't have to talk about that right now. But to your point, Alan, the Predators are 8-1-1 in their last 10. They're winning tonight 4-1 currently. And they are in the second wild card in the West by 5 points. Nope, 6 points. Over the St. Louis Blues and the Seattle Kraken. So your boy Saros, buddy's come back to life. And Ryan O'Rebirth is still going strong. And old man Nyquist, apparently he has 3 assists tonight. So, like, he's also up to like 47% ownership. So people are actually starting to pay attention to what he's doing. Forsberg is still on an absolute heater of a season. Don't you rule out those Predators. And then Yossi obviously is, you know, doing things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't say, like, this is a guaranteed 8-pointer, you know, bag it and sleep, you know, like, obviously.
Well, that's
not
what you were going to say until Alan and I stopped you from saying
I'm not saying it's a guarantee. I'm just saying, like, if you take each of those individual games and say it's the Winnipeg Jets facing them, I think I'm, again, as you said, Craig, if I was a betting man, I'd lean Winnipeg Jets in every matchup, every single one. I don't care what heater they are. This team, like, with all guns firing and everything, is just the better team, right? Like, the ice is tilted their
way. Capitals just obliterated the Pens, 6-0. Columbus are going to be well-rested. They just boosted their confidence with a 4-2 victory over the Oilers. You know, Jay, anything could happen. The Ducks, yeah, okay, cool. That might be an 8-0 win for the Jets, because the Ducks might not have anybody left except for their young pieces after tomorrow to play with their young players.
Absolutely. It might be an entirely different Ducks team. Might literally be the Mighty Ducks suiting up.
I hope so. That would be so glorious. Bring back the Mighty Ducks, man.
Truthfully, oh man. Okay, so There are other teams to stream and strategize, but just for any listeners out there first, like, I completely agree with Alan, and just to smash the idea again, if you want to win week 22 and you need to win week 22, you need either, if not both, a combination of New York Rangers streamers and Winnipeg Jets streamers. And those names we listed, look over them, check to see who's available, and best of luck in week 22. Now, teams to target drop for your, I guess, New York Rangers and your Winnipeg Jets. Five teams play two games in week 22. So there's Edmonton, Nashville, Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Vancouver. Now, of those teams, I would hesitate to drop Edmonton players. I'll list out some suggested Edmonton player drops, but Edmonton generally just has a glorious playoff schedule, so it's really difficult for me to...
The three names that you're going to talk about, you can drop next week. Even okay. McLovin, you can drop.
Even
them.
McLovin.
Especially McLovin. Especially with Henrique and Carrick's now part of that team, it's going to hurt all three of the guys that you're going to talk about's deployment even more so. So, yes, it is Edmonton. Yes, they have a great playoff schedule, but these three guys... punt them into the sun very safely.
Yeah, definitely for the week 22, right? The playing two games, not going to help you make the dance. And even if you're fighting through all those times, yeah, there's better players. So Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod, Corey Perry, right? All these guys are under 10% owned. Ryan McLeod's like 1% owned, right? All these guys either get power play two or not even power play two. As Craig mentioned, their value has significantly declined with the acquisition of Adam Henrique, which, I mean, I understand the ad on a hockey level. It just is devastating for us as managers because Adam Henrique is pretty owned up anyway, right?
After his hot streak before this trade, yeah, he got sniped up pretty fast in most leagues because he was on fire for about 3 weeks leading up to that deal.
Devastating. Devastating indeed. Now, for Nashville, that's another team to target drop, and some of these guys are also very lonely owned. Everyone here listed is under 10% owned. Think of your Colton Sissons, Tommy Novak, Cole Smith. Colton Sissons maybe in, like, I don't know, like maybe a face-offs league. Maybe he holds some value, but aside from that, like, everybody else is pretty... It's going to be tough to justify holding a Tommy Novak or a Cole Smith, for example, in terms of value. If they won't play two games. Tampa Bay has a similar lineup with players that are going to be, you know, just not worth the two-game headache, right? Nicholas Paul, Anthony Cirelli. These are power play one or former power play one guys or current power play one guys. But, yeah, they're just not worth it with a two-game week. Both on heavy nights, yeah, you can find value elsewhere. Reminder again, Jonas Johansson, he's... not going to get a game likely. Vazi's probably going to start both. So, you know, all these guys are valuable streamer spots, right? Not necessarily streamers for week 22. Toronto gets a little dicey. So I haven't been following that power play one setup, but the only player of, I guess, so I'll list off some.
Bert got bumped tonight. Tavares was back on it tonight, but obviously it make a note difference because we can't beat the Boston Bruins. We haven't beat them in 2 years, so who cares? It doesn't really matter.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so a couple of names, too. I would say Max Domi, right? Max Domi, he gets power play two time, probably worth dropping at this point, at this point in the season, unless I don't even know what Toronto's week 23 schedule is. Okay, Toronto is a decent week 23 schedule, but yeah, you can probably safely drop a Max Domi or a Jake McCabe. And you'd be able to open up that slot better. Worth noting as well, I mentioned Matthew Nyes, but what you probably could do now anyway is monitor and see, because I think he went down the tunnel tonight. If you have an IR plus slot, just chuck him there, and then maybe you can keep an extra guy available if you know, need an extra game played in week 23. Matthew Nyes is, I think, like a droppable candidate, and then if you can save a drop and just slot him into your IR plus, that's even better. Vancouver has got a couple of players to mention, but it's pretty hard to justify, like, not dropping, like, all the guys that are valuable already owned up, right? So you're fringing here, right? Dakota Joshua, Connor Garland, Nils Höglander. Yeah, these guys are all under 10% owned. So you're trying to win week 22 early, right? So we'll roll through for a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back. That's the Rangers, right? So listen back before. It's quick, actually. We just say Alexis Lafreniere, Keandre Miller, and literally Jonathan Quick. And then that's it, right? There's no other team that is a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back. These are just Monday, Wednesday streamers, okay? Just Monday, Wednesday, not the Friday. Just Monday, Wednesday off-night streamers. There's LA, there's St. Louis, there's Washington, and there's Winnipeg, right? So we talked about the Winnipeg streamers. We're going to roll on to LA, right? So LA, you got Quentin Byfield, that fantasy unicorn. I think Alan said it before, but it's probably last call. Like he's going to be gone. Like if nothing else, even with the schedule and his new, I guess, positional ad, I think he's just going to be skyrocketing up the ads. He's just too versatile, right? Matt Waugh, 24%, gets like he's a peripheral monster. Alan said Philip Deneau already, but Pierre-Luc Dubois gets power play one. So make of that what you will. It's for the Monday, Wednesday off night. St. Louis is probably what? Like there's Braden Schenn around. I know Alan mentioned Colton Parayko. Torrey Krug gets power play one every now and then. Jake Neighbors is also on power play one. These guys are all under 30% owned, right? They should be available on your wire if you just need a Monday, Wednesday off night. Washington has, I guess the main guy is Dylan Strome and Tom Wilson, right? These guys are around 40, 30% owned. So just check, right? These are power play one guys. And Washington's got a great week 22. Also a great week 23 schedule. So I think Washington would be a good team to target if you are trying to piggyback not only the back end of week 22, but also prepping, looking forward for your week 23 playoffs. Also monitor the Washington goalie situation, which is incredible for us as fantasy managers. I still don't know which goalie they're going to really roll with. If either guy gets hurt, like either hamstring gets pulled for a little extra bit, you're going to be lucky to have this basically goalie run for the next seven glorious games, basically, in their glorious week 22 and 23 schedule. You pretty much have to know and check. And again, the sucky part with this release as well is that tomorrow's trade deadline day. So all of these players that I mentioned, even on Washington, for example, they might not be there, right? They might not be present and playing. So please do monitor and check and see what happens with the trade deadline to see if they stay. Washington isn't even probably understanding itself clearly if it's a seller or a buyer for this trade deadline. So until they figure it out, might want to hold on the clicks until those things get ironed out. But if you have an extra ad, you could, you know, slot them in first and hold and check later. Then there's our Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back, right? So there's only one team that falls into that category, and that's Colorado. So Colorado's got a whole bunch of new players. But I was saying, like, Arturi Lehkonen would have been a good possible ad, except this guy possibly is going to have his first power play minutes impinged on, right? Who's the new ad from Buffalo?
Casey Middlestat. Yeah.
He won't take Lehkonen's spot. If anything, he's going to pop Drouin's days are numbered, boys, finally in that top six. Because
between Middlestat and Nichushkin coming back.
And Alan and I talked about this. It's either Middlestat or Nichushkin is going to take that middle spot on their power play one. So I don't think it's going to impinge on Lehkonen. Yeah, Casey Middlestat, very interesting pickup for the Avs. Will be discussed in depth on Sunday.
And what is Middlestat's ownership right now? I'm just glancing quick. He's 31%
interesting
owned.
That you say that. But he is one of Matty K's streamers of the week coming up soon. Coming up soon.
Yeah, so Colorado is definitely a team where I think instead of just listing off a name like you, fantasy manager, you'd be really, really well advised to go actually and scroll through and look for Colorado players, because some of them are new. Some of them are entirely even off my radar, right? Some of the names I'm mentioning, like Josh Manson, for example, is one of my suggested names, but is he even still there? Has he been
traded?
He's
still there. Yeah, he's not getting traded.
He's still there. No. Bowen Byram, I think, was the player.
Bowen
that,
Byron
that
is traded. It was a hockey trade. It's him straight up for Middlestat.
Right. Yeah. It was shoring up, I guess, deficiencies in both lineups. Now,
Byron had 2 points tonight, played 25 minutes, and had five shots on goal for the Buffalo Sabres tonight in his debut game. Apparently having, you know, nine left shot defensemen that are all under the age of 23, nine is an exaggeration. It's not that many. I think it's six. Isn't a bad thing for the Buffalo Sabres organization. So,
oh man, I love the shots at the Leafs, Craig. Every now and then, it just pops.
What, man? How did you wait? What? I didn't say nothing. Wait, that other organizations incredible. Know how to build a blue line better than the Leafs. I'm pretty sure, you know, my son's Timbits hockey team knows how to build a defensive core better than the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Point noting, I think many people would end up paying for your son's Timbits hockey team to end up playing on the ice at Scotiabank Arena. It is indeed a sight to behold. Jonathan Drouin was one of the names I suggested, but if anything, rein in that ad and probably look for some other names around, like at least see where Drouin's going to slot in and fit in. I agree with the boys. It's pretty likely that his days are numbered on the top line anyway. And again, Sam Girard, right? That's another name where the defensemen lineup opening up through the trading away of Byram might be an internal promotion functionally for player value and deployment, right? Sam Girard, who else is going to take his minutes, right? There's obviously Cale Makar. Nobody's touching him. There's Devon Taves. No one's touching him, but Girard's probably next man up after Byram's gone, right? So this could be at 9% in power play too. Currently, like a really good time and value uptick for Sam Girard in the Colorado defense. But with that, the early section of our week 22 is done. I hope those streamers help you in your week 22 quest for the playoffs. It's now or never. And even if you've made it, I hope it helps you with your seeding, and I will throw it back to Craig.
Yeah, I think this is it, boys. We're in the final 2 weeks, depending on when your playoffs start in your respective leagues out there of the regular season. What a journey. We've been putting some miles on this van cab, man. We better take it in for an oil change before playoffs or something, because who knows the kind of damage we've done and all the beer cans and shots of whiskey that we've spilled, and Jay bringing in the goddamn minus 50 below when he opens the door when he's up in Northwest Territories.
Oh no, we only use whale oil now. That was another one of my modifications.
Oh, okay. So we're using biofuel now shipped to us from Jay in his home in Northwest Territories with our motorcycle van cab. But let's do what we always do for the week preview. Let's finish her off with the taxi squad streamers of the week. So the two specific streamer choices that the boys and I will be targeting ourselves in our own respective leagues. And then we'll also go head to head in our taxi squad streamer face off, which will tally up at the end of the season a winner and figure out some sort of prize that the other three will get delivered to the winner's house in that face off. So, with that said, taxi squad, assemble!
News team, assemble!
Alan, why don't you hit the people out there with your streamers of choice for the week that will come, week 22.
Yeah, I'm going Sean Monahan, duh, and Philly Deneau.
Like the double centers in your life, eh? The C cups. Get those C cups on your roster. Especially in a face-off league. Jay, hit the people with yours.
Yeah, I'm wavering between two of the three here. I'm going to stick with Alexis Lafreniere at 42%. Dual eligible, gets power play 2 on the 5-game Rangers. Can't go wrong there. I guess I'm going to have to go with the gut with Gabe Vilardi being out. If he stays out for that week, Alex Iafallo is going to get that power play one time, the 3% ownership. That's a deep cut. I think Alex Iafallo is going to do well for you on the power play one.
Okay, well, I'm going to do what Matty K would do if he was present, and he's going to put an asterisk beside your Lafreniere stream because he's over 40% owned, but we'll allow it. Okay, we will allow it. Before we get into mine, we'll do Matty K's because he apparently likes this player. He streamed him a couple times. So I picked him again for him in his absence while he's down in Mexico drinking his mojitos. He's going to go with Pierre-Luc Dubois, 38% rostered with the LA Kings. I did actually see a couple of whispers out there that they might be shopping him, so he might not be an LA King as of the deadline tomorrow, so something to monitor there.
Come back to the Blue Jackets, baby.
And I've been awfully nice to Matty K, and I'm giving him Casey Mittelstadt of the now Colorado Avalanche and their line to centerman, who will most likely be playing when he comes back with Nichushkin and potentially Lekkonen if somehow Jonathan Drouin. Yeah,
they can stick him with Drouin.
I don't right. like what are you like can you just like
I need Lekkonen to be on the top line.
Yeah, that's fine. I do too, but like I would rather see Zach Parise in the playoffs in their top six over Jonathan Drouin. Like, good Lord. If you've watched any Avs game, he can't play defense. He literally just skates around.
Never could.
like he's good with the puck on his stick, but that doesn't happen a lot because he has formidable players in front of him like Rantanen and a guy named McKinnon who's on like 160-point pace.
Wait, who? Never heard of him.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he's any good, though. I don't know.
I don't know. Just at home, though. Just
at home. And to wrap up the week 22 week preview, we will go with my streamers of the week. I'm going Kyle Palmieri from the New York Islanders. He has 6 points in his last 5 games, 4 of which are goals. He's still on line 2 and power play 1 and riding a nice little hot streak. And Jay and Alan, how dare you not take your boy? 1 and 2, Jay, this is for you, because our last conversation about Dylan Strome of the Washington Capitals, you said he was waiver fodder and he should not be kept rest of season. I just want you to read the stat line in the show notes, Jay. Read it. You tell the people, and you take that sandwich and you apologize to Dylan Strome and the owners out there that are still holding him rest of season. How many points in his last 10 games? Can you read it? Read it. Read it and say it.
He's got 15 points in his last 10 games.
Which in 8 of those are in his last 5. Okay?
And I'm sure would be a shame if he gets traded tomorrow.
But
oh man.
I just want you to apologize to the listeners out there where you told them that Dylan Strome has no value rest of season. That came out of your mouth, not mine and Alan's. Okay? You hurt Alan's heart because Dylan Strome is his boy. He heard you. He heard you, Jay. And
he was listening to the
pod. He went on an absolute tear for the past 2 weeks.
When he was streaming down the ice in the 2-on-1 breaks, he was like, God damn it, Jay. I heard you doubted me.
He had three assists tonight in their 6-0 win against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So
important to note, too, is I will stand by those statements and double down and say that, my goodness, he is a terrible end-of-year stream. However, even if he was a season-long hold, you don't care or matter. He is an amazing week 21 to week 22, 23 hold, and you have got to pick him up. He's 35% owned. Grab your Dylan Strome.
And last place guy in my home league sniped him this week. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, what's wrong with you? You're not even making playoffs. So hurtful. Well, let me wrap it up here. So in summary, our streamers of the week for the taxi squad, Jay is going Alexis Lafreniere with an asterisk because of his ownership. Alex Iafallo banking on Gabe Vilardi's injury and still being out next week from the Winnipeg Jets. Alan's going to the Monahanaissance with Sean Monahan of the Winnipeg Jets and Philly Deneau from the LA Kings, who could get a nice little bump in deployment if they do in fact trade one of Matty K's streamers of the week, being Pierre-Luc Dubois, PLD, from the LA Kings, if they are in fact shopping him and move him before the deadline, and Casey Mittelstadt of the now Colorado Avalanche, their new line 2 centerman. And then my streamers of the week for the people out there, Kyle Palmieri of the New York Islanders and Dylan Strome of the Washington Capitals. Oh, just another note on Strome, boys, as we sign off here. He's only 35% rostered. Like, am I on drugs? Like, how is he not more owned?
Like, their schedule hasn't been great lately.
Like, okay.
Any center only.
He has 15 points in 10 games. Tell me how that doesn't help any fantasy roster currently.
Here's the thing, though, right? Like, it really depends on what rosters people currently possess and what players you would drop for him. Like, who is a suggested player we would drop and vacate for him?
I don't know. Yeah, Nick Paul. For show. For show. Jonathan Drouin. For show. I'm punting Jonathan Drouin into the sun for Dylan Strome. For show. Tyler Bertuzzi. Goodbye. You're back down to 14 minutes time on ice the last three games. I don't know what Sheldon Keefe's doing. You know, great.
Anthony Mantha. Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Anthony Mantha.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye. So there's lots. Alexis Lafreniere. I would drop him for Dylan Strome. Too. See ya. There's options out there, Jay. We just did it off the cuff and we weren't even thinking about it. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. We'll park that van cab for now. We'll shut off those fares. Thank you, as always, out there in listener land for listening and following on this taxi squad journey with myself, Alan, Jay, and Matty K. Can't believe it, boys. We're only like 4 weeks away from wrapping this magical journey through the fantasy ecosystem of the world and content creation with the four of us. I'm sure we'll do some year-end wrap shows, so we'll definitely have some end content there. Good luck and Godspeed as you close out your week 21 matchups. Hopefully it leads to either some opportunity for a buy or solidification of your playoff spots out there. If not, let's use some of this juicy information in this show to help you lock in those playoff spots if your playoffs, in fact, start in week 24. Alan and myself, hopefully with another special guest, will be back for our Start Sit Saturday morning live show at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday the 9th. And then Alan and myself, as Jay is setting sail for a lovely vacation himself, we'll be, as we mentioned earlier in the show, talking all things fantasy relevant trades from this week and how you potentially could capitalize on them going into week 22 and beyond. But we will leave it at that. Let's park this van cab, Jay. Let's turn off those fares. Let's not charge these people too much more to listen to us banter about Dylan Strome. We will be back real soon. Thank you, as always, for listening. Good night, everybody. It's all love.
Sit Sir Saturday. Be there. Or be a rhombus.
Be a rhombus. We'll pick you up later.